Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so very much. We ask you to guide and protect us, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Through Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit of freedom. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God all bring loving kindness to humanity. And with that is also freedom. That is a big part of what initiated the American Revolution, especially the freedom to worship God as they saw fit. In England and in Europe, it was that the king had all the rights. And then in the medieval England, the nobles felt very much taken advantage of. And in 1215, the nobles armed themselves and confronted the king while he was traveling from one place to another. And the nobles got the king to sign an agreement called the Magna Carta. And that granted the nobles of England certain rights. After 1215, it was a slow but continuing legal process that took hundreds of years to extend those rights to all the citizens of the English realm. Eventually, England gained a system of law which was called the Parliament. And initially, it was to protect the property rights of the nobles from the king, and eventually to protect the property rights of common men. In this system of protecting property rights, it over time extended to other rights, and not only to the English nobles and barons, but also to common people. So this legal system was developed in England and spread to the United States of America, where we took on that code of law. And anyway, in the old days, the early days of America, people came to America for freedom, and that was to have freedom of belief, which was not so much existing in England. In England, you could be taken to prison and have your land confiscated by the king based on one charge or another that he would make against the person. And that was in the 1600s and the 1700s, and that is why some of those people came to America, because the king treated people unfairly. And that condition caused many people in America to want to limit the power of government. And in those days, it was the power of the king, and it turned into the power of the government in America. So in those early days of America, there was an expression that was often heard, "No king but Jesus." That was the expression. And that was because they had conflicts with the King of England. And And in those early days of America, so many people came, all sorts of people. Some were rebels, some were loyal to the crown and to the king, and some were concerned with advancing the kingdom of God to every part of the world. People were different. Oh, and they still are. And yet, in the early days of America, there were still conflicts between all sorts of people, even between different Christian groups or religions. And often enough, there were preachers who would preach here and there, and it would get one group upset at the other group of Christian people. That was back then. And so there were people who were put into jail because they were of a different religion and speaking something a little bit different. And that includes how there were street preachers who would be reading the Bible, for instance, on a street corner in early America. And then there would be complaints and they would be put into jail. That really did happen in America. So the protection of the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech got established because of that conflict. Preachers went to jail at that time. Oh, it didn't happen all the time, but it certainly did happen. And so that's why we have the rights and privileges that we have today. We can thank those early preachers, street preachers, and we can thank Americans who stood up to allow the preaching of the Word of God, the Bible. So that was in America. America is and was a melting pot where so many different people came together and they were aware of their heritage. They were aware of their ancestry, but they were always Americans, ready to promote America, where they had freedom, freedom of expression, of religion, of worshiping God the way they wanted. They loved America for the freedoms that America has had and promised. As time went on, this developed a character that Americans have of being strong and independent. That became a part of American tradition, strong and independent. Well, we have had lots of historians who have their own ideas, and they look at things with a perspective of today when they look back on history. Very difficult and dangerous to do because it's not accurate. So there's still people, historians, who try to understand and view things accurately. One of the things that they have looked at was the 1800s, for instance, the ship manifests of the sailing ships and the passengers that were on them. And so they matched names and who came to America and who went back to their homeland. And one of the researchers, or a couple of them, they have looked at those lists and they have had the idea that the people came to America with a hope of being successful. And the ones that were not successful, they returned to their home country where they needed to get help from their family and friends. And that's a part of the argument of why America has turned into a strong and independent nation, is because the people who came and who stayed had to be strong, self-reliant, and independent people. That's what makes it America, I think. And today, well, it's changed a little bit because the nation, America, the government, gives lots of free money and lots of assistance to all sorts of people and refugees. Now, what about if those people who were immigrating to America had to rely on their very own ingenuity to survive? And would that fit in more with the past conditions of America and and how is that influencing the American character? Good question. I think a part of that is, where does the giving of money or material come from? You see, in the olden days, the local churches gave out charity, and not the government. The government didn't give out anything, no money or anything. So if the churches were giving out, well, it might have been money, it might have been material, or just being generous, that would have led to a bond with the churches of that time. And the churches were a part of the community, and that made a community bond. And now today, things have changed with big government. Now the bond for people in need is with big government. And that is changing the concept and the character of America. So I think it's a change in conceptualization, and we have to just see what it will bring to our nation. It's going to be interesting. Well, there's different aspects of life and how people are. One of the way people are is that there have always been people who have wanted to control and contain other people. That's just history. So while there's been one group who wants to control and contain people, there's another group who desperately seeks freedom for themselves and for others. And that's the American tradition. We have tried to consider that since the earliest days of America, since the Mayflower Compact was written to ensure the rights of people. It went on to several other parts of the East Coast of America. They had charters like the Pennsylvania Charter, and there was the Massachusetts Bay Compact. Well, many others. But the point is these were written documents in our history that show that people were concerned with responsibility and freedom. And all this led up to the Constitution of 1776, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. And part of that was the Declaration of Independence, too. So all of these things had the principle of seeking freedom. And of course, that was freedom to worship God, too. That was a very important part. But I think another important part is that it was all of these basics were derived with the consent of those who were governed. That's something that has been unique in history, to have consent of those who were governed. And that's just a wonderful progression that we get to be a part of, to go from the importance of government and kings to each of us having our own rights and freedoms. I think of the Bible verse here about us being kings and priests. And I just kind of wonder about, that's in Revelation chapter 1, 6, and Revelation 5:10, where it talks about people being kings and priests. And, if we are kings and priests, then let's speak like we are and let's act like we are. Oh boy, would that change things or what? Well, anyway, we're supposed to be priests and kings. But there are people who want to control other people, and that's just the way of the world. We see that with governments, with kings and queens, and sometimes with our work situations and with our family situations. Just that people want to be in charge. That's a condition that is existing today all over the world and in the last 100 years. Definitely. There's many areas of life where we have people who want to control other people, not just the kings and queens of the olden days, but today. Lots of, that's what governments do. They're concerned with controlling their own citizens. I think an example of that is the walls that have been built, city walls, or 50 years ago there was the Berlin Wall. That was a big thing. Wow, that was big. That Berlin Wall was about an 80-mile wall around Berlin to separate the democratic and free part of Berlin from the communist and controlled part of Berlin and East Germany. Most amazing, it was 300 feet wide and fences on each side, like 8-foot, 10-foot tall fences, just to keep people contained so they couldn't cross from one side to the other. In the middle of that so-called Berlin Wall, that wide open area of 300 feet, in parts of it they had rolls of concertina wire stretched out. Concertina wire is used in military. It's kind of like long barbed wire, but it cuts even worse. And so there were the rolls of concertina wire that were here and there in the middle of that cleared area, just to discourage people from crossing from the controlled eastern zone to the free western zone. In along that Berlin Wall, besides the walls, there were guard towers. The guard towers were like 200 yards apart, and in them they had a couple of military marksmen armed with their rifle and searchlights, ready to shoot anybody who wanted to cross from one zone to the next, from the east zone to the prosperous and free west zone. That's just the way it was. And yes, people were shot and killed in there, in that area, that 300-foot wide area, just to get to freedom. And a lot of people died, just to go from one side to the other. And there would be a picture, if somebody died in the middle of that, the free citizens in the West Zone would put up a picture, and often enough have a bouquet of flowers right at the picture. I always wondered who did that. Somebody was compassionate. Maybe they were somebody who made the trip successfully from the East to the West. Just very interesting. Berlin, the city of Berlin, has a history of the communists trying to block off the western area of the city. That's happened ever since the mid-40s. And in 1948, there was a big airlift by the Allies to get the supplies to the West Berliners. And there were efforts to cut off West Berlin and to have the communists take over. There was another big airlift in 1963 by President Kennedy. So it was a way of for the West, to the Western countries, to tell the Soviet communists that they would not be allowed to take over West Berlin. Well, that wall went up in 1961 and it stayed up until 1989. When there were political and practical reasons for that wall to come down, and it did. And people on the east side rejoiced. After 1989, the East Germans were free. They were on the road to freedom at last, and hooray for that. There were negotiations between West Germany and Soviet Russia to buy that East German portion of land. And they worked out quite a thing to put up a wall. But there's another wall that needs to come down, and that was called the Iron Curtain. That took a few more years to come down, and gradually it has been coming down. The Iron Curtain was around countries right next to the Soviet Union, the ones that the Soviet Union took over after World War II. So when the Soviets took over those countries, it would not allow anyone to leave, and also didn't allow people to come into those countries. Quite a thing the Iron Curtain was. It was a closed border, and not too many people escaped from it. And there were rebellions of people within that Iron Curtain zone, but thousands of troops were sent when a rebellion happened, and those thousands, even 100,000 troops got sent. 100,000 Soviet troops got sent where there were, let's call it rebellion, because to the Soviets, that's what it was. And those rebellions were always put down, and some of the freedom fighters were killed in battle, and some of those freedom fighters could escape to the West. That's just history. And I've been interested in history since about 1970. Yes, I'll tell you the little story about 1970 when I went to visit relatives in East Germany. I went with my mother, and I spoke broken German, but she spoke fluent German, and that made everything easier to have somebody who can communicate. Well, nearly all of my relatives lived in West Germany, there were a few relatives who still lived in East Germany, and like I said, the East Zone was controlled by the Russian Soviet Union, and there was a wall to separate East and West Zones. Obviously, Russia didn't want people leaving to the freedom of the West, because people were an asset, and they still are. Well, the wall happened because Germany lost World War II in about 1945, and England and the United States, they did most of the fighting by far, but for a few years previous, Germany had tried to take over Russia, but the harsh winters and also the Russian troops made it impossible for Germany to take over Russia. Anyway, late in World War II, Russia joined England and the United States to defeat Germany. And then the England and the United States agreed to give control of several countries, including half of Germany, into the control of Russia. I say Russia, but their name is really the USSR, or Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And Russia was just one important republic within the USSR. So Russia dominated the USSR because they had the most resources. Anyway, I kind of use Russia and USSR interchangeably. Anyway, soon Russia put up a wall to keep the zones, the occupied zone, in their own control and to keep people from leaving. Soldiers were posted along the border wall, and they did shoot and kill many who wanted to escape the Russian-controlled zone and go to the freedom of the West. That's just the way it was. Our history books talk about it a little bit, but the personal stories are, well, it really gets you to understand that there really were hard times in the East Zone. Anyway, a lot of people had an idea that the wall was going up, and they knew it, they saw it, but they did not want to leave their home or their farm or their possessions behind. And at that time, people could walk over from the west zone to the east zone, but there were soldiers there and they couldn't take anything with them. They had to do it carefully and not be noticed. So many people just stayed in the east-occupied, Russian-occupied zone. And, of course, it was the border crossing was always guarded. And the people who did try to cross, sometimes they were shot and killed. So it was just, that was the situation. And it was also called the Iron Curtain. But there was still people who had interaction between the East and the West, and a lot of people still wanted to come to the West, where there was freedom. In the East, the living conditions were very simple and very poor. Poverty, real poverty, was in so many places of the Eastern Zone. And the wherever there was in the those Iron Curtain countries, the natural resources were taken to Russia, like coal and iron, other metals and lumber. They were all shipped by train to the USSR, to Russian factories. And that's just the way it was. So another thing that happened in that East Zone was they were limited with their electricity and their heat. They only had electricity for a few hours a day most of the time. And they only had heat for a few hours a day also. The heat was provided by steam. And that went through the pipes and through the radiators. And steam gave off heat, which heated the homes. So only a few hours a day did they get electricity and steam, heat. Oh, it's just the way it was under the communist rule and the communist system. So anyway, back to that trip. My mother and I were allowed to go into East Germany in 1970 because we were American citizens. And of course, we were not visiting relatives anyway, not officially. Because that would have got attention to us. Anyway, we only went to East Germany for 2 days and did not stay overnight. Just 2 days in a row. Very interesting. We arrived at the American checkpoint Charlie. That was the point of entry at 6:30. And there was already a line of about 20 people waiting to get into East Germany. And I think it was 8:30 that the office actually closed. I'm sorry, the office actually opened. And so we got the papers filled out, the forms. And at that time, everybody had carbon paper in America. But in East Germany, you had to fill out each one of those 5 forms that were the same, just using a pen, and they had to be identical, and the border guards looked them over to make sure you had your forms filled out correctly. You know, I don't know if people know carbon paper today, because we just don't need it. We push print on the computer or go to the copy machine. But in those days, everybody had carbon paper, and you pressed down with your pen, and as you wrote on the top form, the image would pass through to the next form and to the next. That's what carbon paper was. And then you would only have to do something once and get a copy of it. Well, that trip to the East Germany part was interesting. And one of the requirements was that you changed your American dollars into East German dollars. Marks. And they required you to get so much each day that you were in East Germany, and I think it was $200. And that was how the Eastern Zone, East Germany, acquired money that they could spend internationally, is they required it from anybody who was visiting. Well, I remember at that time there was an exchange rate that was the official rate, and that was you got, for those $200, you got about 700 East German marks. But if you went to the banks in West Germany, you got a whole lot more because they had East German marks, but nobody wanted them. So the banks would give you, oh, something like 5,000 East German marks for every $200. And that was a huge difference. To get 5,000 instead of 700, well, my mother bought a lot of those marks for her relatives, and she illegally brought that currency with her across the border. It was a good thing that she was not caught, or who knows what would have happened. But anyway, she did bring that East German money to her relatives, and they were so grateful. There was poverty, so much poverty in East Germany and all of the East Zone. Well, it's very hard for us to grasp in a free country how people can be so very stifled and controlled like they were in the communist countries or the communist satellite countries. Well, on that trip, we got concerned, we were reminded that the walls have ears because you never know who was listening. And it can be the neighbors, it could be, well, just anybody. People were careful not to speak too loud. People were concerned about what they said because they were always concerned that someone was listening. And I hope it never gets like that in America. Or maybe it is that way because, you know, our phones have ears. And you can be sure that the National Security Agency is recording every phone conversation that we have. They admit to it, every phone conversation. And Google listens also. How many times have you heard, well, I've heard people say that they have had a person-to-person conversation, not over the telephone, and they were discussing something that they needed or were going to buy. And so later on that day or the next day, an ad would pop up for just that very thing that they were looking for. Yeah, so who's listening? I don't know. It's just a good thing that we trust our government, because who knows what would happen if there was troubles. Yep. Well, we trust our government, and our government trusts us, right? I wonder sometimes. Well, years ago, for business, I would have to go to the county courthouse just from time to time. And this was like 20 years ago. And at that time, metal detectors were first being put into courthouses. So it was like the first or the second year of having those metal detectors in the courthouse. And I asked the deputy who was monitoring us if he thought metal detectors were a good principle for our society. And he said, oh, yes. So I asked him, well, if the principle is good, would you put one on every block with a deputy at each metal detector just to stop the violence in our society? And his answer was an enthusiastic yes, he would do that. So ever since then, I have wondered, where would this drive to keep us safe, where would it end up? I don't have an answer, but I wonder about it. And especially when I look back to East Germany or East Berlin or the Iron Curtain countries, how the conditions were there. Now, it was a city East Berlin was just like any other large city. It had stone buildings that were big and beautiful. Oh, but it was kind of interesting because they were all built before World War II. And that was East Berlin. And they, very interesting, they all had bullet holes in those stone buildings. Maybe from a rifle or maybe from something larger than a rifle. Well, they weren't holes. They were really cone-shaped impressions where the building had been hit by bullets. Well, so the buildings and the streets were often nice, but those whenever they needed repairs, they were not done because Soviet Russia would do nothing to make a satellite country look better. So all the buildings, basically all of them, had bullet pox in them, and frequently there were areas where it was overgrown with grass and trees, and everything stayed the way it was after World War II. That's just the way it was. So back to East or Germany and Russia. I said about how there was an attempt for Russia, Germany to take over Russia, but they really couldn't do it because of the cold winters. And a lot of the German soldiers who were sent to the Russian front, they had summer clothes instead of winter clothes. And so when the Russian winter came, the cold killed many, many German soldiers. A part of my trip to Europe in that 1970 was my mother was interested in seeing the Bialystok Forest in Poland. So we went to see it. It was in the very northern part of Poland. It was the end of June, and we traveled by train. And how surprising it was to see in that train station that people were walking around with fur coats and fur hats because it was cold, cold, cold. I could hardly believe that you went outside and it was so cold that the ice would freeze. And there were maintenance men with something like a straight hoe. I don't know what you call it, but it was used for chipping the ice off of the sidewalk. And so they were busy doing that. So I think of those German soldiers in World War II who were unprepared for the cold weather of those northern areas. So do we feel sorry for those German soldiers who went to fight Russia? Yeah, well, it makes you wonder, why did those German soldiers join the German army anyway? Well, you see, here in the United States of America, we have a volunteer military, and the men and women serve voluntarily. But if we were to go to war, we would for sure have a draft, and that's just the way it is. Men and women would be drafted because of the equal rights laws in this country. So we are so concerned with individual freedom and equal rights. Well, we'll see how it works out. Well, so those soldiers who went to fight for their country, well, I asked my friend about that. I have had a friend who was, well, have, but they're deceased, who was born about 1935 in Germany. And so I asked, how could so many German young men agree to join the military and go to war? And this was the answer. It was shocking to me. On our block in Germany, we had a neighbor who was a young man who received his draft notice. And then he got a second draft notice. But he was not going to go to fight a war which he did not agree with. So A couple of weeks went by after that second draft notice, and the SS police came to his house. And you knew it was the SS because they drove those great big black cars. Anyway, they knocked on the door, and they asked to talk to this young man. And they wanted to find out if he got his draft notice. And he said he did, but he said he would not be drafted. And so right there on the front porch, those SS men shot him dead. And they told the parents to leave his body there. Well, I don't know how long that body stayed there, but you could just, you know, that it was a very discouraging thing to anybody who would dissent or avoid the draft. And that's what its purpose was, so that people would be discouraged from avoiding the draft. Shocking behavior. I know. We are shocked by it because we are in America. But there are so many parts of the world where this kind of strong-armed behavior is typical, just not in America. In America, we cannot even imagine that such a thing could happen, that such a thing could take place, that drafts to be drafted would be forced, or that those secret police would shoot somebody who didn't do what they said. Well, anyway, it's hard to believe that such things could take place because we here in America are in a gentle and compassionate country. But the rest of the world is not so gentle and not so compassionate, not as we imagine it is. That's only a dream. If you look back in history, you can see the reality of how people were and how, well, some of the governments and military was. There was murder and rape and robbery. That was common, just like it is in some places today. And we don't like it, and we don't want to be a part of it. But that is the way that humanity has been at some point in history. So, a few minutes ago, I told you about the Iron Curtain being built, and in the Soviet Union, well, let me just say that a little different. The Iron Curtain was built, and the Soviet area controlled the geographic area, and they wanted to control the people, and the Soviets were very angry at the German people because of what the soldiers did to Russia. They killed, there was war, and war killed millions, actually. And of course, the Russians wanted to get revenge upon those German and those Middle European people who fought and killed the Russians. Well, after the Germans lost World War II, the Soviet allies took over some of the European countries. And, oh boy, they did their best to cause problems for Eastern, for Middle Europe and the Germans. And there was bad behavior going on, raping and stealing from homes and all that. It was bad. But today, there is still that kind of bad behavior that's going on. It goes on all over the world. Tragedies. It goes on in Africa, where there's that kind of behavior and torture as well. In China, there's still those who believe that human organ harvesting is going on from live prisoners. You know, China is not an open and free country, so we have to rely on testimony that we hear to get an idea of what really is going on in that country. But there are people who have testified that it has occurred, is occurring now. and other parts of the world, just there's all sorts of bad things going on. In Mexico, in a one-month time, there were more journalists that were murdered than any other month in Mexico. And that's apparently because those journalists were writing about the Mexican drug cartels and government corruption in Mexico. So, to stop those people from writing, they were murdered. Well, there's a lot of injustices that go on 100 years ago, and they go on today. It just seems to be humanity, and that is why we need the hope of the world, which is Jesus Christ. And a part of what we want to do is spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We spread the good news. And, oh, it's just life that there's troubles, and it's different for each one of us. We all have troubles, and we all want to have comfort. And we want our hurts to be healed, so whether they're great big hurts or little hurts. They can still hurt a lot too, those little hurts. Well, whatever it is, we want to belong to Jesus Christ and ask him for help and comfort. And it's amazing that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus, who is God and who created us and all the things in the universe. Amazing how Jesus loves us and he forgives us when we ask for forgiveness, and when we repent. Yes, again I say, when we repent, change our ways. So, we also have to be born again and look at the Gospel of John. That's in chapter 3, where he talks about being born again. Everybody deals with the things that concern us. And that can be hurts, and that can be just life. Life in on our earth. Thankfully, we will live again in eternity, and we want our eternity to be in heaven and not in hell. Oh, yes. So our eternal life is so much more important than our life here on earth, and a part of what we do is we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's a part of what we do for eternal life in heaven. So, meanwhile, here on earth, we have a lot of hurts, and we all need healing. We all have a lot to forgive, and we all have a lot to pray for ourselves, and for other people. There's a lot going on around us, and even we think of things that are just normal in life, like, how is our economy doing? Whew, that's a good question. What will happen in this year or the next few years? How is our economy doing? Well, we get concerned about the troubles that we see all around us with the economy and with the world and with politics. We get concerned about job security. We might get concerned about our retirement, or that could be about the stock market. There's lots going on in the stock market. I mean, we've seen things happen. When we see it go up and down, we always wonder if it's a manipulation or if it's real. Well, our economy has had stores closing down this year, last year, and there's more scheduled in the future. And what is our Federal Reserve doing about our money supply? Oh, it's all just things that we deal with right now in this world. And we wonder about China sending troops to the border of Hong Kong. Well, the U.S. and China have a war, or Will it be a trade war? Oh, and a thing about trade wars is they often turn into shooting wars because, well, trade is so important to every nation. Just a question, and things are going on. God knows about our troubles. God knows about our concerns. God knows all of it, including if our views are simple or if they're complex, and how to interact with each one of us and introduce the truth of the gospel to each one of us. So God knows about the troubles, the rumors of war, and the trade with China, or our national debt. Our national debt. It's of our making, and we are responsible for it. We took on the debt in order to buy things, and now we are faced with a huge debt of $22 trillion. Ha! You know the million, billion, trillion, and how I've said that in seconds. 1 million seconds is 12 days, 1 billion seconds is 32 years, and 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years. And we have a $22 trillion national debt. It's destabilizing. It's something that I'm not sure our country can recover from. Our politicians are either unwilling or unable to begin paying money back. So what can happen? Anything can happen in our economy. That's what I see, including a collapse, including a Great Depression. All those things are possible. I don't know if you've heard, but there are reports of the billionaires who are getting prepared for a society-wide collapse. That's what they're doing. They're getting their shelters ready. They're getting their food ready. And they are just getting ready for something big and bad to happen. So I say, not just because of that, but just because of the general conditions, I say, look at what's going on and recognize that it's unsound. It has been unsound for many years, but we have kept going. And so I want to shout. I want to say, get ready, get ready, get ready, because something is going to happen. And we don't know what, and we don't know when, but it can't go on like this. The economics are simply too out of balance. The spiritual, too, out of balance. So if we get prepared for things too soon, that's all right. But if you get prepared late, if you wait too long to prepare, it will be too late to get your food and supplies. So give it some thought. See what you would want to have as supplies. There's the way that the world looks at this, and it's all right to look at that. And there's a way that the spiritual eyes can see things too. And in either case, worldly or spiritually, we get consequences for what we decide and what we do. And there's only a question to me of how severe will the consequences be and what will the timing be. And for that, only God knows. But I do listen to what people say, and I have heard people talk about both consequences. Oh, Franklin Graham says we ought to get ready for persecution of Christians. Yeah, that makes me think of the Bible verses where all that live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy 2:12. And blessed are ye when you shall be hated for the Son of Man's sake. That's Luke 6:22. Or how about love your enemies? Pray for them that spitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. So persecution isn't addressed in plenty of places in the Bible. It's just that when will we have persecution? And we just don't quite know. But I do know, I've read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and in there have been a lot of people persecuted. You just kind of wonder as you read it. It's amazing about all the martyrs that there have been throughout the ages. And the people have been old or middle-aged or young or teenagers. There were people who would not deny their faith in Jesus Christ, and so they suffered and died for their faith. These testimonies, they did strengthen my faith and resolve to face whatever will come. And I think it's just a good thing to read. Maybe you will want to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Well, as we look at what is coming, and that is eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven or in hell. In hell if we do not accept Jesus. So I think that to have eternity with Jesus will make any difficulty worthwhile. And that is what we have to bear in mind as we go through the trials of life. Just there's a lot of things going on. And we want to say, yes, Jesus, and be faithful and obedient to what he tells us to do, how to live, and how to treat other people, and especially how to give praise and worship to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, when we get to heaven, we are going to thank Jesus for counting us worthy of going through all that we have gone through here on earth, and it could very well be persecution for his sake. So keep that in mind. Lots of people have suffered persecution, and we don't know if it will be us or not, or when, what or when, but we pray to God for the faith and the strength to get through whatever we have to get through in this life. And if you'd like to listen to any of the past broadcasts, you can by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and with no spaces. And I also invite you to get my preparedness list of ideas and to please send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I'll send that preparedness list right back to you. Ideas about what we might do to get prepared for the just in case. So, until next week, may you walk with God and may God walk with you.